This is Watch the Media. I'm John Schrader. Happy holidays to you all. It's that time of the year when we do our best to share with you the best work of our students in this fall 2023 semester. Today, a love affair with Huskers volleyball, a profile of a big league baseball announcer, a personal journey of discovery, and a vocal entrepreneur. Enjoy.
For KRN News Sports, I'm Sarah Pearson. When you ask someone about what their passion is, you can get a variety of different responses, from sports to cooking to traveling. It's all about what you love and what gets you going. Something that you care so deeply about and could talk about for hours on end. For me, that passion is Nebraska sports. I have been a diehard Husker fan my entire life. My room is plastered in Husker decor, and my closet is 95% red. I started playing sports at the age of 5, and ever since then, I knew that they were going to be in my life forever. I went to my first Husker volleyball game when I was 7 years old, and that's when I knew I wanted to be a Husker. I started playing volleyball at the age of 8 and never looked back. I wanted to be the next Jordan Larson. I was going to go to Nebraska, win a national championship, and then go to the Olympics and win a gold medal. My heart was set. Playing volleyball throughout my youth, this was the dream. As I continued to play through middle school and high school, I came to the realization that my lifelong dream was not going to be a reality. Heck, I'm 5 feet tall, I sit the bench on JV, and I had never played club. But I knew that I could still be a Husker and enjoy watching the games as a fan, which as someone who had been a fan her whole life, that was a dream come true in another way. Now here currently at UNL, since I'm not a player myself, I get to fully enjoy watching all the games. I go to every game possible, no matter what the sport. I'm always the first one there. I show up hours before just to get my front row spot. This is what I live for. I bleed Husker red, and I have so much passion for the Huskers. By far, the coolest moment from my time as a Husker volleyball fan was Volleyball Day in Nebraska. I don't think I can even put into words how much that day meant to me. I will never forget waking up in the afternoon from a nap. The first thing I see is a text from my dad saying, "Did you hear Husker volleyball playing a match at Memorial Stadium?" I couldn't believe it. I immediately went to social media, and there it was. That whole day was just truly unforgettable. I cried many times. It all started with the rally at the Coliseum. And when the team came out and Coach Cook started talking, as soon as he started crying, off I went. And then after the rally, I went and stood in line. There was just so much anticipation. It was so amazing. I got interviewed by 3 different news stations. Whenever there was a camera, I will always cheer and show my passion and be willing to talk. And as someone who worked at a news station, I know that they love emotion. So when I interviewed with News Channel Nebraska and started crying, I knew that it was going to be used.
I would say that I am the biggest Nebraska volleyball fan on the face of the earth. I've been following this team my entire life. I went to my first game when I was 7, and ever since then, I've been hooked. And I'm just so excited for today. It's going to be history in the making, and I'm so excited.
She's cried like 4 times.
I've cried a lot today, but I knew that was going to happen. It is going to be the most incredible atmosphere that anyone will ever be a part of in their life. It's gonna be so much fun, it's gonna be so loud. And when they announce that we broke the attendance record, because that's going to happen today, I'm sure I'm not gonna be the only one crying. It's gonna be just unforgettable. I I knew immediately the second that they announced it, I knew that Husker Nation was going to sell this thing out. You know, we have the best fans in the world, and there is truly no place like Nebraska.
Finally, after hours of waiting, we were let in. It was so intense. The second they opened the gate, we all sprinted to get our front row spot. Luckily, I was with a friend. So during that first game, one of us could hold down the spot while the other went and got food and water, because if that spot wasn't guarded, we would lose it in a second. We watched that first game between Wayne State and Kearney, and then it was time for this moment I had waited for since February. I don't think I stopped smiling the entire night. It was perfect. The tunnel walk, the game itself, the light show, breaking the world attendance record.
This one right here gives me goosebumps. Nebraska is now a world record holder. Let's see those numbers. Fans coming out. Here we go. 9-2-0-0-3.
Everything was better than I could have ever pictured it. Even 6 months later, I still get chills. I will cry to this day, going back and watching all the videos from that day. The documentary that BTN did, talk about emotion. 20 seconds in, I see myself and I immediately start sobbing. Volleyball Day in Nebraska was truly one of the best moments of my life and something I will remember forever. BTN broadcaster Emily Eamon said that she could feel the emotions too.
Let me say, it was the coolest college sporting event I've ever been to. I've been to, you know, college football playoff games. I've been to NCAA Men's National Championship, and I have never been around a sporting event that was as exciting, as loud, as just empowering as something like this. But from the first moment I stepped into the stadium, getting ready to call the game, it was jaw-dropping. I mean, I started crying immediately, and it was one of the coolest things that I've ever seen and, of course, ever been a part of in my broadcasting career.
Something really cool that happened from my time as a Husker fan was back in 2018. So this story begins with my grandpa. He has his own business where he makes custom cowboy boots. John Cook had always wanted a pair and was talking with someone on where he could get some. That guy told him about my grandpa, and the rest is history. My grandpa made John Cook a pair of cowboy boots. How cool is that? He spoke in Central City, where my grandpa lives, that same day, so I figured there would be a long line to wait before he spoke. When I got there, there was no line, so me and my dad went to my grandpa's shop in hopes that Coach Cook would still be there. When I opened the door and looked up, I saw him. I was shaking and I could barely get words out. He asked me where I got my shirt and I was like, from when you won the national championship. I was fangirling so hard. I got my picture with him and he signed my poster. And to this day, 5 years later, that is still my background on my phone. And another cool thing about that was Coach Cook invited my grandpa as a guest to a game, and he had 4 tickets. So me, my mom, my grandma, and my grandpa all got to sit in his box seats at a game. I remember during the scrimmage, he saw me and remembered, "Sarah, right? Your tickets are in the mail." I couldn't believe that he remembered me. On to the game, though. That was so much fun. I remember I was taking pictures of everything, and he walked out on me. And I remember asking him if I could get autographs from the team, and he told me that they're signing after the game. I knew before anyone else. They made the announcement during the game, And I turned and I was like, ha ha, I already knew. The Huskers won in a sweep, and it honestly was the one of the coolest things I had experienced as a fan up until that point. And it doesn't stop there. Even years later, this story still lives on. In April of this year, Husker volleyball played in Central City. Having them so close to where I grew up, I knew I had to be there. I was so ecstatic when I found out that I would get to be covering the game. I remember the press conference before the game, and Coach Cook looked me right in the eyes and said this.
Central City, Nebraska. I'm getting my cowboy boots. I have a pair of custom-made cowboy boots from Central City, Nebraska. Anybody else have here a pair of those? Huh? Anybody else have a pair of those?
I don't have.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I need to get a pair.
Central City is where my volleyball career started, and to be back covering a game with the team I grew up loving, talk about full circle. I did a pretty good job of remaining neutral throughout the game, but when my dad came over and told me that John Cook was wearing my grandpa's boots, I freaked out inside. I immediately went over and had to get video of it. We get to the end of the game, and John Cook shouted out my grandpa after the match. It was one of the first things he said to the crowd. I broke again there too. I couldn't stop myself from smiling when he said that. Then after the game in the press conference, one of the reporters asked him about it, so getting that on video and having that memory is something I will cherish forever.
How did the boots come to be?
So I did well, first of all, Kelly's dad has been bugging me for ever since she's been a Husker. Like, when are you going to wear cowboy boots for a match? And I said, well, I really don't have any. And then Dr. Duga, our orthopedic surgeon, he wears cowboy boots. And he's always like, you need to wear cowboy boots for a match, you know? So a few years ago, I did a speaking deal up here. And there's a guy, and both of them got boots made from Russ up here in Central City, custom made boots. So I did a speaking thing. I said, I'll do it, but I get a pair of boots out of it. That's how I got a pair of custom made boots. I mean, they measure you and everything. It's, you know, it's like getting a prom dress.
Coach Cook saw me at Fan Day before this season started, and he still remembered me. Maybe it's because I look the same, but the fact that he knows me still is so cool. He even asked me what year I am in college and if I'm still doing media. Coach Cook is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth guys ever, and I am going to be an emotional wreck when he retires. Another big moment for my time as a Husker fan is the game versus Wisconsin at home this year. I had been anticipating this game for a very long time. Number one versus number two, both undefeated, this was going to be the game of the century. Now, I typically get to games early, 2 hours before the doors open to be exact, and I'm always the first one there. I thought this game would be insane with the line, so I knew I was going to have to be there even earlier. I got there at 11:30 in the morning. Doors didn't open till 5:30 p.m. I wasn't expecting anyone. When I arrived there and there were 10 people in front of me, I was shocked and quite frankly a little bit upset. I had always been first. That's my thing. I take pride in being the first one there. Anyway, now we just had to wait 6 hours. Now you may wonder, what did we do in line for that long? It was actually really fun. We played card games, ordered DoorDash, watched the football game happening, and something really cool that happened was when the players came in for practice. Becca Alex saw us sitting there and asked for a picture. She then posted it on her story and shouted us out. Some of the players were making TikToks, showing the line, and even Coach Cook shouted us out on social media. And finally, after hours of anticipation, we could finally go inside. It was a mad sprint to get my spot. My heart was pounding. That was my spot, and it had been all season. If someone took it, I was going to explode. Luckily, I got my spot down on the floor. But you know what made me so mad? All of us were waiting outside for multiple hours. And when I got in, our whole section was taken by student athletes. If they had waited in line, that would have been different. But to show up 5 minutes before and get a whole section, it's not right. My friend, who was waiting with me, almost didn't even get a seat by me because of that. I was so pissed off. Anyway, on to the actual game. It was so amazing. It went back and forth, and this was one of the greatest games I had ever seen. And I've seen a lot of volleyball in my life. I was scared at first. We fell behind 2-1, and Wisconsin had match point in the fourth. But we came back to force a fifth set. I've been to a lot of games in my life, but that was probably the loudest I had ever heard the Devaney. I was going absolutely feral for the cameras. Husker social media even posted a photo of the whole crowd, including the student section, and the look on my face says it all. I was having the time of my life. Now on to that fifth set. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. There was a challenge on match point. And I think that was the longest challenge all season. But as soon as the PA announcer said, "After further review," we all went crazy. That moment drove out so many emotions from a lot of different people. But it could especially be heard in play-by-play announcer John Baylor's voice when he called the final point.
Net violation return! Nebraska defeats Wisconsin. They did it. Call the grandkids. Nebraska takes down mighty Wisconsin. A second deuce game, and they love it in Lincoln. The coaches shake hands. Give that to some Husker heart and a little bit of green card luck. A deuce game win in the fourth, another in the fifth. Can you believe it? What a match.
We all rushed to the front of the student section, jumping up and down and celebrating. I started crying so hard. That was the first time we had beaten Wisconsin since 2017. I wanted to storm the court so badly, but they only let us on the red part around the court. And even Coach Cook said in his post-game interview that he wanted the students to storm the court, too.
I don't know. My ears are ringing. They'll be ringing for days now. But our crowd was fired up. I wish they'd have let the students storm the court in the cowboy hats. That would have been epic. But those guys were fired up. They were camping out all day today, out waiting to get in. So one of my dreams have been here in Nebraska is to have a great student section, because in the Coliseum, we never had one. And now I think we have one of the best student sections in the country. People are going to be talking about these.
The entire day was so amazing, and something that I will never forget. Beckett Alec had a lot of praise for Husker Nation after the match.
You know, Husker Nation don't play. We are one of a kind. This team is one of a kind. Husker Nation is one of a kind. I heard that thousands of students showed out tonight. We are one of a kind, and we are all one heartbeat, and Husker Nation is no joke. This is a family out here. It always has been. It's been since the early ages of this team, and those that come out and show up, like from the Coliseum, and it is now in Devaney. Like, Husker Nation, we're one heartbeat.
Being a Husker fan is something that will always be a part of me. I eat, sleep, and breathe Husker sports. I live and die for this team, and there is nothing in life that makes me happier than cheering on my Huskers. There is truly no place like Nebraska. For KRNU Sports, I'm Sarah Pearson.
With only 30 Major League Baseball teams, few broadcasters have the opportunity to work at baseball's highest level. One of those broadcasters talented enough is Lane Grendel. Grendel just finished his eighth season as a member of the Milwaukee Brewers radio team. but his road to the show was atypical from other broadcasters, as he didn't really know what he wanted to do in college.
I always felt like being a broadcaster was a potential path for me, even as a young kid. You know, early on, even in junior high, I was getting asked to do like the public address for the Little League football team and stuff like that. Always thought this could be a path. I knew I wanted to do something in sports. And so when I went to the University of South Dakota my freshman year, I had it in my mind that I wanted to work in a front office of a professional sports franchise, which is funny because that's what I do now. But this wasn't necessarily the first choice. I thought I wanted to go be, you know, an executive helping run a team. And then after a year of that, I realized my real passion was still to be in front of the microphone and to be able to narrate what I'm seeing and have passion about it and be excitable and maybe tell some stories and connect with the athletes that I was covering, things of that nature. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do play-by-play at that point. I wasn't against it. I think I had like a lot of cocky 20-year-old kids, this thought in my mind that I was going to go to some huge market and be this, you know, shock jock, loud voice in like Philadelphia or some East Coast city and yelling on the radio and taking phone calls. And I think I thought that's what I was going to do. And then when I went to Nebraska, which was a year out of college, I was able to make my own and craft my own way a little bit more. So that's when I started to really decide that maybe the play-by-play thing is what I wanted to dive into a little bit more.
And that's exactly what Grendel did.
And Kelly hits this pitch hard to deep right. Riotto's going back. He's to the wall. Bye-bye baseball.
Grendel joined the Nebraska baseball broadcasts in 2008 and worked with Greg Sharp. Sharp is currently the voice of the Huskers for football and baseball, and he noticed pretty quickly that Grendel had the ability to be great.
Lane was fairly green at the time when I met him in 2007, would have been the fall. He was doing some sidelines for the Huskers, and then when I got hired in early 08, he was my baseball broadcast partner, and you could just tell that he was on a trajectory to be really, really good. And I think he learned a lot in the coming years, and obviously it's paid off pretty well for him as being a big league broadcaster, but you could tell there was a lot of ability there. His ability to, one, call a game, and two, just to get along with people served him really well.
In the spring of 2016, Grendel made the jump to the big leagues for what ultimately was one of the only jobs that he could see pulling him away from Nebraska.
We had built kind of our forever home in Lincoln in 2013, and we were really happy. Loved it there, loved Lincoln. Had established a great life there. We had family all around us. So I just didn't really foresee a scenario in which we would leave. And then in the back of my mind, I always thought maybe if Major League Baseball came calling, that would be the thing that I would really seriously consider. For me, with what I was doing, being on a college baseball broadcast and everything else that I had in terms of what my experience and my path looked like, I knew it was going to have to be a pretty specific type of major league job for me to have a shot, because nobody was going to more than likely hire me to be the number one radio guy, especially in maybe one of the big markets, right? That's just not usually how that works. So I personally, and my wife as well, we desired a Midwest market if we were going to leave. And I figured it probably needed to be something to at least get my foot in the door where it was like a number three position where you're doing 60 to 70 games, maybe you're doing a bunch of pre and post game. And this Brewers opportunity came up and it kind of checked every box. It was a Midwest market. It was a number three job. And it just happened to be in the same radio booth as Bob Uecker, which was pretty appealing. And so it just felt right. It felt like this was one that I would have at least some sort of a shot at, and one that would be a fit for us and our family. I wouldn't have left Lincoln for another college job. I wouldn't have left Lincoln for really any job other than that. You know, a Midwest Major League Baseball job was the only thing that probably would have pried me away from Lincoln. And it happened. And there were nerves associated with that. You're up ending your life and you are so settled and so happy. And I've always wondered, you know, do you mess with happiness? And luckily for me, it was the best thing we've ever done.
But what's made Grendel so successful? a couple of different things, according to his producer with the Huskers, Ben McLaughlin.
He hasn't tried to take the easy way out in any way, you know, rolls his sleeves up and really, you know, gets to the root of what makes a good broadcaster and how he fits. He stays in his lane. He doesn't step on toes. You know, he kind of does everything the right way, which it's not very often a college baseball play-by-play guy goes from doing games in Nebraska to the big leagues.
Grundle's had the opportunity to call many big moments in his time with the Brewers, but his favorite moment may have occurred this past year.
My favorite moment that I've called, I think it's this year. I mean, there's a couple really good moments from this year that I was on the call for that I really enjoyed and was, you know, excited that I got the opportunity to narrate it. One was Mark Canha's grand slam.
Maybe as loud as this 36,212 have gotten, because this feels like the moment of the night right here. Brewers with a chance to try and reclaim the lead with their bases loaded and two outs. Finnegan looks in to Canha. First offering to him. And a drive out to left. This is high, deep.
It's just such a cool moment. It capped off this big comeback from the Brewers, and it was pretty special.
Throughout Grendel's 8 years with the Brew Crew, he's evolved as a broadcaster, but acknowledges that there's a lot that he's still continuing to learn.
Timing, your rhythm, your pacing, what the prep entails, and what you need to put into it. I think there are always rules with any sport. I mean, college football changes their rules every year. Baseball changed a lot of their rules this past year. There are always rules that you were learning. There are situations that arise or that pop up in a game that maybe you've never seen before, you've never broadcasted before. And so you kind of limp your way through it, if you will, and you try to figure it out as you go. But you also remember that moving forward, and you're a better broadcaster because of it. So there's so many examples of that. How to project your voice, how to control your voice. When I first started doing games, and I think this is still a challenge, I think most broadcasters, other than the guys that just naturally have, you know, the big voice, most broadcasters are always trying to work at doing a better job of controlling their breath and controlling their voice and being able to punch it and hold it through a call and hit the right moments the right way to match the moment with your voice. I think everybody's always trying to get better at that. If you're not, then you're probably not that serious about what we're doing. And so, like, that's been a big thing for me. And I've learned it, I think, even better since I've been in the big leagues, because I just call so many more games. I have so many more opportunities to call big moments. And the soundtrack underneath of them is so awesome, because typically you got 30,000 plus in attendance and they're reacting to what you're seeing. So, you know, understanding voice control in the big moments, that was not something early on that I would say I was very good at. It still gets me once in a while, but I think I've gotten much better at it as I've gotten more experience and gotten older.
Along with continuing to learn, Grendel also continues to try and develop a relationship with the listener. And one of the best ways of doing so, believe it or not, is silence.
Don't be afraid of silence in baseball. People want to be able to close their eyes and put themselves in the ballpark. They can't do that unless you let them hear the ballpark. The ballpark has so much to say. Let the ballpark talk on your broadcast. Not just on the big moments, but even in the downtime, even if it's just faintly in the distance, the beer vendor yelling, or whatever it might be, it makes the audience feel like they're there.
Ultimately, Grendel says that the baseball season can be a grind, but it's something that he enjoys.
It's a little bit of a grind at times over the course of the season, but it's a good grind. You enjoy it. I can't think of a time where I got in the car to go to the ballpark and I was like, oh, I got to go to work today. No, it's always like, I get to go to work today. That's a great feeling when that's how you feel about going to the office, if you will, going to the ballpark in my case, and getting a chance to be around the people that you love, which is your baseball family.
That's exactly how Grendel feels about his time with the Brewers. They've become a part of his family, and he doesn't see himself leaving.
My family loves it here. We're not leaving. Said it millions of times to people around me, you know, bury me a Brewer, because this is where I want to be. And we found our home, and we couldn't be more thrilled with it.
For KRNU Sports, I'm Camden Cohn.
Welcome into a piece of my life. I'm Skylie Nelson. I have a strong memory of growing up immersed in the sports world. My parents signed me up for dance, gymnastics, softball, basketball, soccer, really more sports than I can even count. Aside from playing sports, basketball and football seemed to always be streaming on the TV or playing on the radio. No matter where I was or what I was doing, sports were always at the forefront of everything in my life. And the reason for that, I credit to my dad and his obsessions, which were obtained from his dad and so on. I can't pinpoint the exact moment in my life that the light bulb went off and I realized I love sports. It was sort of an accumulation of things that began when I was about 4 years old. I grew up the oldest child. I had two younger brothers, Tyson, who's 1 year younger than I am, and Cameron, who's 5 years younger. My parents, Mike and Missy, raised us in a very active household. My dad was a former college football player at the University of Nebraska Kearney. He's 6'7", and I got my height from him. My mom, on the other hand, played volleyball, basketball, and softball, but stopped playing after high school. However, she kept running every day, showed me the importance of working out and what a healthy lifestyle meant. That was through exercise. If there's one thing everyone should know about my parents, it's that they're not planners at all. They figure things out on the fly, and deadlines especially are their worst enemy. Every year when the YMCA sign-up would come around, they would always miss it. My mom would usually rely on my dad and vice versa, and at the end of the day, I would miss yet another season. Eventually though, they got it right, and my mom was finally able to get me enrolled in my first activity, dance. The full tutu, the ballerina shoes, the makeup, and the hair slicked back, I was a dancer. And it was my first activity that led me to friends and got me involved, and I really got to do everything I wanted to do beforehand. Now was my opportunity, but I never fell in love. So they got it right again. This led me to gymnastics, and now thinking back, it was good for athleticism, but I was never much of a gymnast. Again, it came with leotards, Saturday competitions, tumbling, nothing I was truly in love with, but my mom thought it would set me up for success.
You being my first daughter, I was the mom who wanted to see my girl do little girl things. And so we got you into dance and put you in a little tutu up until you could speak to us and say that you didn't want to do that anymore.
After about 3 years of going through the routine and doing gymnastics, stepping up every level every so often, I decided gymnastics wasn't my thing, and eventually that led me to soccer. It was through the YMCA, like my parents had missed before, but I was the first child, so they were in the learning process. When I got signed up for soccer, again, I had no idea any of the rules. I was just out there to kick a ball. But this is really when I found my first love for the game and sports in general. I loved being a part of the team, meeting friends, and most importantly, getting the snack at the end of the game, because it didn't matter who won or lost. We were just out there for fun. My mom and dad always remember this too. They always reflect back on sitting out in the cold, watching little kids run around, fall over, because we were all so clumsy, and me and my best friends were on the team. So they would sit next to their best friend's parents, and it was just a great memory I had to fall in love with my first sport, which didn't take me too far. I wasn't naturally skilled at soccer, but again, it set me up and showed me what being on a team is all about. Out of all the activities I became a part of in my early days with gymnastics, dance, and soccer, it led ultimately to my favorite sports of basketball and softball. I ended up on the worst team, though, in softball, and that's due to my mom's inexperience of signing me up and her knowledge of softball teams across the area.
I remember being contacted by a parent asking if we wanted to be on a traveling softball team. And at that time, we didn't know what traveling was. And so she explained it to us that we just traveled to little towns nearby. And then the first team that we were on was called Synergy and wasn't a very good team. I think you maybe won one game that year.
The first team I ever played on for softball, we won one game. And when we won it, we went absolutely ecstatic. It was the best thing that had ever happened to me and the other young girls, just hoping for a chance for a win, and we got it. And for my parents, that was truly their first experience of watching their daughter try and find her love of the game as well. Even though they didn't grow up softball fans, they truly found desire and a passion to watch their daughter play. Out of all those involvements, though, gymnastics, dance, soccer, basketball, softball, what sparked my interest in watching sports was Duke men's basketball. The moment hit its peak when they won the 2010 national championship when I was 8 years old.
It's Hayward pulling it down, getting around Zubac. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010.
It was a favorite memory of my dad's and I, sitting on the couch, being able to watch Duke basketball together. He explained to me the game while I was trying to figure it out as an athlete. I didn't know any of the terminology, any of the players, any coaches, or big-name teams, but Duke was able to help me navigate that and find my interest and fandom in my first ever team. My dad was born and raised in a small town in Nebraska with a few hundred people on the border of Kansas. It was Superior, Nebraska. He grew up on a farm and played a few sports, but was never immersed in a large crowd. So coming from a small town in Nebraska, I always asked him, how did Duke become your favorite team?
My stepdad did a fellowship with Duke University back in the early 80s. And by the time I started watching them, it was the early 90s. And if you recall, Duke won their first national championships back in 1991. And so I distinctly remember watching Christian Laettner have the perfect game where he got the pass from Grant Hill against Kentucky. And there's like 1.8 seconds left.
Through him showing me what it was like to be a Duke fan, I naturally became a Duke fan myself. My room was completely covered in royal blue. My bedsheet was Duke-themed. My walls were Duke-themed. Everything in my life seemingly revolved around Duke. Eventually, I still followed them to this day, and I'm so thankful for the relationship I got to build with my dad because of it. But I'm not at that level of a fan as I once was. That truly kickstarted everything else in my life around sports.
You were baptized into the Duke basketball kind of lifestyle. We ended up naming our youngest son after the basketball arena. We ended up naming our dog after one of our favorite Duke players.
When I figured out what it meant to be a fan of sports, I immersed myself in everything. It was the grind, extra practices, and overall trying to be the best athlete I could be. I, of course, had my own influencers and people that I looked up to in my respective sports, whether that was basketball or softball, as the main two. But I always found a way to keep developing as an athlete. That's what made me me, and that was my identity. Until my eighth grade year, I was known as the tomboy. I would show up wearing basketball shorts down to my knees when all of the other girls were wearing track shorts. They always tried to influence me to wear them, but I saw myself as more of an athlete because I wore what the boys were wearing. It was my way of identifying myself as an athlete without having to tell people. They automatically just knew because of my high top shoes, the long length socks, and my basketball shorts matched with a sporty t-shirt. To me, this really went to show that I was an athlete at heart, and I was just trying to show that and express that through my clothing appearance. Eventually, before I went into high school, I had this realization that I did not need to wear basketball shorts to show people I'm a basketball player. So I went with more of a casual outfit. I changed my style a little bit, and basketball shorts were specifically designed for basketball season. When I entered high school, though, I was fully committed to every sport. I knew what it took to be at the varsity level, and it was my goal to letter in as many sports as I could. I got lucky, especially in my freshman year of softball, the first sport at the high school level, and I got to start on varsity. I lettered in the sport, and I competed with juniors and seniors that I had never met before in a sport that I wasn't even sure that I was that good at. But this was just another chapter of my life and of my sports life that I didn't know I needed, but my parents saw it playing through. But my parents saw it playing through my journey, and they knew it was always where I needed to be. My freshman year of softball, though, wasn't all glam and glory. I was a shortstop, and that's all I knew myself as. All of my prior teammates knew me as a shortstop. My parents only knew me as a shortstop. I was that player until my freshman year. When I got the chance to play on the varsity team, you can't say no to that type of commitment. My coach, however, saw me as an outfielder. He put me in center field because I was a little bit quicker on my feet than the rest of the squad, and I also had to bat. But he also told me I would never see the dirt again. As a freshman in high school and a female player with a male coach, you can only imagine what that does to a girl. I went home crying and truly hated the sport after that. I told myself I'm not an outfielder, but what I was forgetting was I was playing on the varsity team. My mom, though, was always in my corner. Of course, when I got upset, she would get upset, but she always told me everything happens for a reason. I was only one of two freshmen that lettered their first year of softball. At the time, I think I took it for granted because I didn't know just how hard people had to work to play in a varsity sport, especially their freshman year. It's a shot that one in a million people get, and I was fortunate enough to land it. In basketball season, though, it came around quickly. A few weeks later, I was stuck on the freshman team for basketball when my best friend, also a freshman, was put on the varsity roster. It left me wondering why. Why was I not good enough to be in that position? But I later found out it's because she just had this rare talent. She went off to play for the Huskers. Everybody dreams of doing that. But I had no athletic ability to get me there. My parents, again, though, also noticed that my skill on the basketball court was rising at a speed faster than most. By my sophomore year, I was put on the varsity roster. And by my junior year, I hit a once-in-a-lifetime moment that not many people get. It was the 2019 basketball season. We just got a new coach, as the other one went off to coach college. And it was a brand new team. Lots of new seniors, some new juniors, and a few sophomores. I was one of three sophomores on the squad, and it was such a fun year. We had such good chemistry, but also we're trying to develop a relationship with a new coach. There was one team, though, that we could never beat. It was the Cree Cardinals, and they had Morgan Malley on the team. She really was the first female basketball player that made me go, wow, this is what it takes to be good. She is good. You can tell she puts in extra time. I always look forward to that moment in sports that makes me go, this is why I belong here. Whether it's an athlete, as a fan, or a member of the media, every once in a while, there's a rare moment that makes me reflect back on the situation and realize, wow, this is why I love sports. I first had the moment when I was playing YMCA soccer. It was my first real competition that I fell in love with. Then it was again when I got to build a relationship with my dad, watching Duke basketball take the 2010 championship. And then again, it came March 2nd, 2019. I was in my junior year of basketball at Grand Island Northwest High School. We had a new coach, Coach Murr, and we were really rolling on the season. We made it to state for the first time in what seemed to be a decade, and we were going on a run. We had our first win, and that was exhilarating, and we came back the next day with another send-off from our school. It was moments like this that you don't ever get to experience, and every time it left me with goosebumps. When we made it to the championship game, we were playing Crete, who had Morgan Malley on the team. She was a Creighton basketball commit and a once-in-a-lifetime athlete that I have ever seen play basketball. She knows how to shoot, and I swear she could shoot from half court. Everybody came to watch her. What made this game so different is we lost to Crete two times prior in the season, both at home and on the road, so we didn't have as much hope as we would have liked. However, we did have the senior roster and our team chemistry was through the roof. We weren't even expected to win districts this year, but we were on a roll. When we got to the championship game, nobody could miss a shot. We were on such fire. It was electric. Morgan Malley seemingly was unstoppable, but after double team and triple teams, we knocked her out of the game and boom. We had just won the 2019 State Basketball NSAA Girls Championship for Grand Island Northwest High School, and I was a part of it.
Seeing you win the championship game was awesome. Not a lot of parents get to see that. Seeing you cut down the net and wearing the gold medal was just an experience that I'll never forget.
It was an adrenaline rush mixed with many emotions, some that left in tears. I got to see my friends and family at the end of the game, and my friends were no fans of basketball. They didn't even know how to spell basketball, but they were happy because of the smile on my face after we just took our last win of the season, only one of four teams that ended the Nebraska basketball season in a win with a state championship. My parents, too, had smiles on their face, grinning up from the stands. I made eye contact with them first. It was a game, a moment, and a season I will never forget, and it's because of the experience that sports brought to my life. After nearly a year later from winning the 2019 Girls State Basketball Championship, arguably the best day of my life, our world changed forever. COVID-19 nearly shut down everything. It changed the way we lived, the way we shopped, and worked, but it greatly affected my senior year. We were just coming off the state championship tournament. We faced Creed again, this time going into four overtimes. It was seemingly the same situation as the last. However, it had a very opposite outcome. This time we lost. We were very devastated. It was our senior year, but we were looking forward to the next sport, as I was involved in soccer. However, soccer season never came. Everything was shut down because of COVID-19, and I never returned to school after my final send-off for the girls basketball championships my senior year.
And it's in COVID's infancy back in 2019-2020. We were lucky in the Midwest that we ended up seeing your basketball season finish to completion through championship game. Little did we know that ultimately your soccer season would be canceled and that the last time we would see you compete was in that championship, or in that semifinal game then, your senior year against Creed.
Prom was around the corner, graduation to follow after, and my college decision not yet being made. However, all of that was put on a pause. Prom was canceled, graduation was pushed back till the end of July, and my college decision seemed a bit more rushed and a bit more difficult. My original college plans consisted of going to Colorado State University and getting a degree in exercise science. However, we were made aware that if I attended Colorado State University that year, all of my classes would be shut down and we would have to take the classes remotely. I would be living at home in Nebraska but paying out-of-state tuition, so we ultimately decided that's not a factor. I had very little direction, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, so like all of my friends, I followed them to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where I was going to major in pre-health for the first few years to decide what route I wanted to go in. After taking some elective courses, I found a sports media class. It sort of seemed like everything came full circle, playing sports, listening to sports, watching sports, but now the opportunity to potentially work in sports, and it immediately caught my interest. It was my second semester of freshman year, and I decided to reach out to my academic advisor. I reached out kind of on a whim and decided to major in sports media and communication. I had never been in the journalism college, wasn't much of a writer, didn't know much about media, but I knew I loved sports and I was committed to the grind. I knew what it took to be an athlete. I knew what it took to put in the extra time, effort, and energy, and I knew what it took to be great. What I didn't know is how to do anything in the media. But my parents, as encouraging as they are, were so supportive of the change.
MJ Hamill. Taking her time with the serve for the Badgers. 5-3, set 5. Best of 15 here. Hamill will send it over. Murray to receive. Riley out to Beatenhorst. Beatenhorst gets it in just in front of Ozel. 5-4, 1-point difference.
I can now proudly say that I've been on broadcast for many Husker athletic events. I've been on the sidelines and I've got to work at a television station. And I'll be on my way to ESPN at the beginning of the 2024 year. A lot has changed over the past 4 years, but one thing will always remain the same. Sports will continue to play a huge role in my life, and my mom's saying holds true. Everything happens for a reason. I'm ready for the next curveball, and I'm ready to take on the next step of my life, especially working in sports.
At the University of Nebraska, nothing brings the students and citizens of Lincoln together quite like the Cornhuskers. Ask any Husker fan who has been to a sporting event what they remember. It's probably not the score, or what happened on the eighth drive of the game, or how many assists the Huskers had. Rather, the experience of going to a game and being part of the Big Red. Some of the most crucial parts of that experience is the behind-the-scenes work and personnel who strive to make every Nebraska athletic event, win or lose, a memorable experience for Husker fans. One aspect of that team is Dwayne Taylor, a master of ceremonies for the Huskers. You might not know his name, but you've probably seen his face, and more likely, heard his voice.
Let's warm this building up. Go Big Red! Yeah! One more time, Husker fans. Go Big Red!
I am a master of ceremonies, which eases communication between a brand or sporting team and its audience, or the fans. I do that using genuine energy and literal communicative hacks in order to get us all on the same page, and then take that energy while we're all on the same page and just build it up from there.
As the official MC for Nebraska men's basketball, as well as the public address announcer for women's gymnastics, Taylor is a Husker-made talent that got his start well before coming to UNL.
You know, my mom was always a big believer in making sure that I felt that I was capable and sufficient. So no matter what I did, she was always like, you've got it. Yeah, don't doubt yourself. What more can you learn? Like, what do you have? So it was in high school when I started doing speech and debate, found that I was pretty good at that. Did the pep rallies, right? I was hosting pep rallies in high school. So it had started getting comfortable with that first and foremost. And then really, I think I'm blessed to have understood that it's nice to just be like, I have a responsibility to share a message, and I can do that effectively.
Moving through the College of Journalism and Mass Communication, participating on the Nebraska speech and debate team, and starting his first MC job for just $100, the Husker alum was bound for success, and he found it right here in Lincoln.
So I kind of carried that energy with me to college, and then during college, started hosting events, getting paid for that. Then, you know, a radio station found me, you know, after I interned for a while, they hired me, and then that's how I was in radio. And then in 2017, the Huskers reached out.
Dwayne Taylor was just getting his career started, but his next big jump was just around the corner. That was when the Huskers officially made Taylor a part of the Nebraska fan experience in 2017.
I mean, you think about the legacy that this place has. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, hundreds of years of people, you know, putting their heart and soul into this state through the athletic program here. And for me, a lot of my focus is on community and connecting genuinely. But having someone say, hey, that's valuable enough to represent an institution and a legacy, that's where it's like, oh my gosh, what an honor.
The Associate Athletic Director for Marketing and Fan Experience at Nebraska, Alex Harris, works directly with Dwayne to provide the best atmosphere for Husker fans.
We're kind of the directors on game day, so our main goal is obviously just to you know, provide the best game day experience for our fans, no matter what is happening on the court or the field. So even if we win, lose, whatever, they hopefully go away with some good memory of their time there.
Working together, the marketing team and Husker Vision try to bring the best game experience in Nebraska, but Dwayne Taylor brings it to a whole nother level.
Specifically at men's basketball, which is where Dwayne started, I think we were just looking for a little bit extra. You know, instead of just doing a, hey, today's game sponsor is this. Let's have Dwayne on the mic with his personality and how he can kind of ad-lib stuff to make it more exciting. So because of his energy and because of his excitement and all of that, no matter what it is, you know, our fans, and they hear him like, oh, what's Dwayne doing now? You know, so they kind of pay attention and just kind of elevates the stuff that we were already doing.
What might be the biggest moment of Taylor's career happened on August 30th, 2023, when Nebraska volleyball set its sights on becoming the biggest and best women's sporting event in the history of the world.
It was like the most real moment I've ever felt. I remember right before I did, you know, the announcement of the number, I realized that no one else had said there wasn't like a PA announcement. Like, I thought that that would happen, and then I was just going to do like a little hype of how the number.
That day, 92,003 fans gathered to watch the Huskers volleyball team in an attempt to beat the world record for the largest women's sporting event in the world. The faithful sea of red filled Memorial Stadium, and during a break between the second and third set of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and University of Nebraska-Omaha match, D'Wayne Taylor was that voice that announced the new world record.
Volleyball day at Nebraska, how are we feeling? I tell you what, I'm here to deliver you some real good news. We have broken 3 different records. And this one right here gives me goosebumps. Nebraska is now a world record holder for an attendance at a women's sporting event. Let's see those numbers. Fans, count it out. Here we go. 9, 2, 0, 0, 3. Fans, make some noise. You just showcased to the world that there is no place like Nebraska.
I realized that that was the read. Like, I was announcing it. So it was like 5 minutes before I was like, oh snap, this is that moment. Okay. And it felt so comfortable. It was like that was exactly where I was supposed to be. It really did feel good to be in the middle of all of that energy and to take that and to kind of direct it, to build it and, you know, help create that fun moment.
Being on such a large stage with Volleyball Day in Nebraska helped D'Wayne grow in his confidence, but he also learned a lot about how to improve his craft and keep getting better.
I remember a time when people would actively be like, why are you here? Like, I don't, will you please go away? For me, you know, that stuff really ate at me for the longest. And what I did was I was like, I will continue to sharpen my tool until it's useful to them. Because all it is there's no value for them. So I kept working on it until it became valuable enough to some of those people. But doing an event like this really helped solidify the fact that what I do as a master of ceremonies is valuable to my community. It's valuable to the sports community in general. And it's something that can be valuable to anybody that's open to having it.
Even though D'Wayne Taylor might be one of the most recognized voices in Husker athletics, his work is so much more than just being heard. It's about the people, the fans, and the students.
What has your experience been with students?
Oh, it's been awesome. I've been able to really just tell them the truth. Because I don't think my career path was traditional whatsoever. And how can I relay what I know I should have been learning when I was in school?
As the station director for 94.5 Red FM in Lincoln, Taylor has a unique opportunity to teach and direct the next generation of radio voices, MCs, and public address announcers. Every Tuesday, D'Wayne has the opportunity to impart his knowledge, experience, and critique to 26 students at UNL in the KRNU Experience Lab program. Paloma Sanchez McGee is one of those bright minds that has her sights set on radio.
It's definitely one of like the better work environments I've been in, because he makes it really easy to like ask questions, and I really like someone like explains like this is why this is important to what you're going to need to do in your future.
Students within the Experience Lab program, like Paloma, get a unique chance to see two sides of D'Wayne Taylor, the teacher and advisor, but also what the application of his wisdom looks like in practice as a master of ceremonies for Husker athletics.
In terms of how it all interacts with sports and people seeing me at events and stuff like that, it's a lot of fun because I know that they see me doing the things that I'm talking about in class.
Husker fans, you gotta keep this energy going. Get up on your feet. You see the.
So that's a really big thing for me, is you can see what I'm talking about. If I say, hey, when you're interacting with an audience, you wanna do this, this, and that. They can go to an event and see me with a full pressure on live camera in my face in front of however many thousand people, and they can see me execute those same techniques, right? It's not pre-recorded, it's not edited, there's no one to clean it all up. It has to be right when it's done.
If you go and you don't leave hype, then he wasn't on the mic that day. Because he just is a giant energy ball. So if you're going to a game, whether you know basketball or volleyball or gymnastics at all, you will be so excited because he's so excited.
So, the next time you attend a Nebraska men's basketball game or watch the Husker women's gymnastics team, keep an eye and an ear out for D'Wayne Taylor as he brings the next level energy that makes a Nebraska athletic event atmosphere that much better. For KRNU Sports, I'm Alex Neal.
Sarah Pearson, Camden Cohn, Skyly Nelson, and Alex Neal, the stars of Watch the Media on this Christmas Eve, 2023. I'm John Schrader.